This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, coming to you from the MHA studios. And yes, I promise you, I am actually coming to the studio. I'm working at my desktop right now, and it's just easier to use the background. But I swear, I'm here. I'm at work. I promise. But with us today, we have a writer, director, filmmaker, musician, and so much more. Friend of the channel as well. You've seen him before. We have with us Frank Palangi. We're going to be talking about the upcoming screening of his film, Warren County, along with some other projects that are going to be coming out this year. This is going to be a very transcendental year for Frank Palangi, it sounds like. So we're really excited to get into all the projects. Frank, how are you doing, my man?
How you doing out there? Good.
Dude, it is so
Thanks
good
Thanks for
to
having
be...
me back.
Absolutely.
Third time, technically.
Third time? I think second time for Walsh Wednesday, but I've had you on the radio before.
Yeah.
So I know it's kind of hard to keep it all together, all the different interviews I've done. It was like, what was radio life? What was podcasting life? What was this? But either way, I'm so glad to be able to be speaking with you today. And I also just got to say, thank you for including me in your projects when and where possible. Because
yeah, man,
I have so much fun working with you.
You surprised me with the acting and stuff. I was like, okay. And then I just get these thoughts in my head and I go, you know what? I think he can play this type of character. Let's go do it. And you're like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll try it.
Yeah.
I think you're willing to try something at least once.
That's pretty much it. As long as like I'm free to do something, I will absolutely like give it a shot.
Yeah.
And it's been funny because the different roles that I've done with you, and I'm not trying to give away spoilers to any of your stuff here, but I've literally done like creepy voiceovers to law enforcement to kind of being an exaggerated version of myself. You know,
we've kind of had all
of that.
Yeah, especially with the new film Warren County coming out with the premiere. I mean, you're in that in the killer music. You make your acting debut in the killer music.
Yes, on-screen debut, right? Yeah.
That's my favorite. We showed it at a festival in Albany, and everybody loved it. And it was just that short film version of it.
Yep.
And between you and what Andy did with the killer record producer and stuff, Jason Irwin is in it too. And we're all real musicians. We're all real radio guys. Every single one in that story are real people, really. And I play myself in it too. And it's just so much fun of doing a music-oriented horror film for that story, at least.
Yeah, bringing all your loves together, because here you are, you've done music for so much of your life, but then you've done filmmaking for another good part of your life. So being able to synthesize it all together.
Yeah.
We had Andy on the program not too long after we originally filmed that.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of joking around about it, saying how, you know, he's playing this kind of vicious role. And we were joking around him saying, it's like, oh, people know me for being just this fun-loving guy. And I'm like, I only know you as the guy who kills me. So
pretty
that's
much.
All I got.
And he plays a serial killer in the next movie, Farmhouse, too.
Yep. Yeah. What's going on here, Frank? He's starting to get typecasted.
Nice guys play
else?
Bad guys, because I play bad guys all the time. You know?
Yep. Yeah. I will say the voiceover that you had me do playing a bad guy, I loved doing.
That set my character right off the edge.
You know? I hope you don't mind. I did share it with my girlfriend just so she could hear what I was working on.
Yeah.
And she was like, Connor, I'm not sure if we can be in this relationship anymore. It's like she was legitimately creeped out by it.
Yeah.
We're still together. Love you, Alex.
Cool.
But
cool.
But she found it fascinating. So let's kind of talk about it. We're kind of, obviously this makes sense to you and I, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, but let's talk about it in terms that the audience can understand right now. Warren County, you're having a screening premiere at the Strand Theater on March 19th, and it's a horror crime anthology. So as we were talking about before, like with the killer music aspect, you showed the short film before, but this whole thing is an anthology of different crimes set in this Warren County. So could you go into it more for us?
Yeah. And you know, there's a couple of real towns based off of Warren County. And I got the idea from the original Halloween is set in Warren County.
I was going to say,
And I live in Warren County.
Yep.
So it's funny because someone said, oh, I live in Warren County. I'll have to check out that film. Not the same Warren County.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, yeah, that's cool. It was a way for me to put all of my movies, all my characters under one umbrella, saying like, oh, maybe all this stuff doesn't happen during the same day or the same time period, but in the same realm at some point, everything happens in this town. Kind of like Stephen King, where he loves to use Maine, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like everything seems to happen in every one of his movies in Maine. So in books. So it's like, maybe I'll start that. And that's something that people like, I really like that about the Stephen King stuff. It's like, you know, you're going to get something out of it. It's like, we already know where this is going to take place. And it has a vibe already. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
all of his movies, even though like a bunch of other filmmakers have directed each one, they, the essence of him, I think, in the book and stuff is they're all in there.
So, oh, I'd agree.
And that's the trouble of making an anthology, right? Is you have to, even though it's four different stories, you have to make it feel like it's kind of one movie. So we have one story of the killer record producer. We have another story of an Airbnb type killer that the girl doesn't even know he's there. One is this drifter kind of curious guy with a pumpkin mask that goes around killing anybody that comes in his way. He's kind of, to me, he's kind of a little childish, like maybe he doesn't really know. He's like a curious, really, really person. And, I don't want to give it away, but you'll have to watch it. And,
yeah,
I don't know. It's so my plan was, I was talking to you a little before this, right? Is to call everything I've done up to this point. At some point this year, I'll probably announce this. That was all chapter one in my journey, sort of.
Okay.
Been three years of making films, eight films come out, couple series and stuff like that. And I go, well, how can I like with music, sometimes you want to put like a blockade somewhere and say, this is where I'm going. And then I appreciate where I was.
Yeah.
But let's like block it a little bit. So my notion is like, well, maybe it's, you know, can get the audience a little bit more excited to say, wow, there's more things coming and maybe bigger and better or just expanded, you know, because it's entertainment. You're always trying to like, how do I get the audience to still like be excited about what I'm doing?
Yes. That's a tough thing. And that was something that we talked about a lot the last time that you were here talking about the engagement. So yeah. I understand where you're coming from with all that. However, Frank, it seems like you got a lot of great stuff to keep people engaged for a long time now.
I do. It's fun. Last year, I just went wild.
Yes, you did. Much. Yes, you did.
Because this year, there's four films releasing this year. Like American Psychopath, even though we filmed it 2 years ago, it just came out on Tubi this year. And we have Warren County, we have Say Cheese, and we have Farmhouse coming. I have got a couple music videos I'm doing. And then there's the chapter one horror documentary type movie thing that I'm talking about that everyone can watch. You remember the movie Terror in the Isles from the 80s?
Yeah.
Where they kind of, it's to promote, right? All these horror movies and to kind of talk about them. And I go, well, I can't do it on myself, but what I want to do something like that is a movie, but then also shows trailers and clips from my movies so that if somebody were just to watch that and they were like, wow, I really like the Say Cheese clip. Let me go back and watch that full movie. It's like, why would you do that? You know, why would you do that as a filmmaker? And it's like, well, we're indie filmmakers, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of word of mouth advertising. And if people click on it, right? So it's like not everybody in the world has seen Say Cheese already. Not, you know, it's like only a certain amount of people. So it's like if you can reach people again, you know, and have them go back and see your stuff.
Oh yeah.
It's totally okay. You know, if it was like if we were big as like the Scream movies, I don't think you could do that because you know everybody watched it and they're like, we're done with it, we're moving on. You know? But
yeah.
The indie world, it's kind of like, because I've gotten these questions, are your films like connected and this, and there's more questions that kind of come up.
Oh yeah. No, naturally speaking, but also you got to look at it as, or you already look at it more for the audience out there. You got to look at it as like majority of horror has started through these indie roots. This is where we get all of the horror icons and legends. They started somewhere and it all came from these indie roots. You know that very much, Frank. I know that. Some of you guys out there might know that, but I would reckon that a good amount of you don't really fully grasp that yet. So, and so we're telling these stories. So no, that's huge.
They're not all studio films, you know, like Terrifier was an indie film, you know, kind of blew up and that kind of stuff. And now they're making a lot of different movies. So it all expands, you know?
Yeah.
And
Terrifier is a great example of that. They were originally anthologies on YouTube that eventually turned into a film, to the sequel. And then the third.
Nothing to do with Terrifier, but that character was in, I think it was whatever the movie was, All Hallows Eve or Trick
something
or
like that. Yeah.
So, but he appeared twice before he was ever in that movie. So I kind of had that idea floating around of like, well, you know, Souls of the Damned, you know, I had this pumpkin killer where I put on the mask eventually. I'm like, what if I brought back some of those guys and stuff and use them in different ways? Because I'm like, why throw away? Because, I mean, I can think of a lot of ideas, but it's like, really, I got to think of another killer and another thing and another thing. Why not bring back something that, like I said, necessarily not everybody has seen?
Yeah.
So if they're like, oh, I really like that pumpkin killer dude, you know, I might go back, check out that other movie with his, you know, whatever cameo in it. You know what I
mean? But seeing the development of it all is very intriguing. You know, I've gone through that myself with a variety of different franchises, and it's like, wow, that's really interesting. What other stuff? And kind of to see the development over time, what it's looked like. It was like, wow, this is pretty sick. And it's awesome to be able to get on the ground floor of something like that as well. And to kind of feel like you're a part of the journey as a fan. So,
And you don't want to throw away what you've worked either.
No.
Kind of like, you know, the first three films, these are every single one of my films are no budget films. Like I have no budget at all, but I don't want it to look like a no budget film and like, oh, that dude's an idiot. You know, it's like, but every movie, if you don't like B horror movies, just don't watch them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
In general. Cause I mean, that's where we all start. We start indie, B, whatever. And it's like, they have a certain vibe there. Yes. There's certain things that are wrong and certain things that could be better. And, but our growth process. We're sharing that with everybody. So I would say like the first three movies, when you watch it, they're my attempt to just make a movie and release it without having all these blood gore effects and chase sequences and stuff. Cause you have to keep it, you know, simple.
Yeah.
So, but I think we talked about before a while back, if you have seen all my films, there's a thing about water
through
every single movie. And it's like, okay, so my notion is the water is making everybody do all these things, go crazy, bad, evil, whatever it is. It's because of the water.
But was that originally the idea, or was it something that you realized that you did? And I'm like, oh, I could make something out of this.
By the second movie, I realized that. And I go, everybody's drinking water. Cause my dad jokes. He's like, usually, you know, the people are drinking beer and all that. And he goes, you have everybody drinking like water, not even soda or anything else. They all just drink water. And I thought, oh yeah, that's it. That's it. So I just kept it going.
But there's go ahead. Go ahead.
So the second movie is Waterless, which is about a world with no water. So people are going crazy because of kind of like the lack of water. So that's when it really kicked in, where it's like secretly, every film, there's always somebody drinking water. We all have to drink water, and it's in the water. That's the real reason why everybody's going nuts.
But there's a lot of real life precedents for stuff like that, which, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
On one of the other programs that I produce, on the Vital Women podcast, we were talking about the contaminants in the water and all the things that are in there and all the things that it can lead to. And it was like, this all sounds very familiar. And, you know, you look at things over time, like, you know, lead piping and the way that lead poisoning led to a lot of different psychosis over the centuries. So much is a part of it. And that's cool that you can kind of link that into your films. It was like, it was never the original plan, but it's one of those things where he's like, oh, this is something that I realized. Let me improv on this and just build upon it.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to owe it its own movie someday. Like, I'm gonna have to, what you just said, clearly explain it and make it into one movie and say that is the reason why.
It'd be very interesting
someday. I haven't written that movie yet.
Someday. But again, let's talk about Warren County again. The screening is at the Strand Theater, March 19th, 6:30 p.m. I'm going to just keep repeating donations, it for everybody out there,
all ages, donations, you know,
love it's it
a, you know, PG-14 type horror movie. Nothing too bad in it.
But yes, so what can people expect about the event itself? Yes, we've talked about the films, but like, what can people expect when they come to the event in person?
I always have signed postcards in the lobby, so everybody comes in and can grab them. You know, I've got some music merch and stuff like that. And anyone who ever, you know, wants to talk and grab photos and stuff, it's mostly just a gathering for to get the work out there. But I always go up and I introduce the movie, we watch the movie, and then I invite the cast on at the very end. And then usually I'll ask questions. I always say this is the part where we're going to take some audience questions, and I never ask the audience at the end because I'm used to interviewing. So I just end up asking everybody questions.
Yep.
And I, you know, I'm can't remember everything, but I'm a little nervous too. And I'm like, I forget about the audience about asking, do you have a question out there? But this time I definitely want to do that. I want to make sure we get that in.
Well, I'll be there and I'll be like, Frank, I think that person's got a hand up. So I'll point you over there if you need.
Yeah. Yep. And you're a good announcer too. So I'm sure you'll be like, yeah, here's the mic.
I appreciate it. Whatever. Hey, I'm just there to support and I'm excited to see how it all turned out. It's one thing to be working on the project with you in real time, but then to see what it turns out to be, because obviously you're a filmmaker, you're putting it all together. I've done a lot of directing and producing in podcasts, in commercials, music videos, but I haven't done as much film stuff as you when it comes to the post-production process. But we both have the post-production background, and we both know what happens on the day of versus what gets put to film eventually can be very, very different in the end.
Yep. Especially, with cuts, things that sometimes just things don't work. You're like, how am I going to solve this?
Yeah.
Either you got to go back and shoot something or you cut away, to something. And in Warren County, you'll find out, why is this record producer doing this? Is it because of another reason in there? That other reason, which I won't say right now, is because of an editing, I don't want to say mistake, but editing thing. I had to fill in some blanks and I go, ooh, I just filled in another story point of this. It added another layer. You'll find out. But you do what you can. And to me, you set up like Warren County, I really focus on the coloring, the lighting. Like killer music is the colors. They're like, the colors are so vibrant. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so three of the stories, I used regular lenses and stuff without filters filming it. Mm-hmm. And because I ordered them and they just didn't come in time. But the date night one where the guy goes on a date and you have to figure out who the serial killer is. Is it the girl or the guy? And that one I used it's kind of like an 80s-esque Madonna type filter. It's real soft. You see it in all those 80s movies. I have not stopped using it since I've gotten it. Because I'm like, you can do so much with this. And not that like, I don't mind like the clear kind of look, but it's like it's a movie,
oh yeah,
even like the, let's say I'm using Scream a lot, but the Scream movies, they're pretty clear movies, good lighting and stuff.
Oh yeah,
but they're not like Texas Chainsaw where they're acid washed or
yes,
or overexposed. So I like that kind of stuff as well. So I try to do a medium and kind of vary it up story to story, so it's a little different.
No, but that's neat though. And this is a discussion that I've had with a lot of different creators these days and I've seen online. Just the fact that so many films today look so clean and so polished and so real, and we've kind of lost the cinematic touch to it. Like you look at movies from like the 80s, 90s, even early 2000s and be like, that is a film right there. That is a film. There's just something about the essence, whether it's the framing, the grading, whether it's some kind of lens, whether it's some kind of filter, whatever it is, you just look at it and it's like, right there is a film. And that's the escapism that we all love, regardless of the genre.
Yeah. And that's what you want to see when you're shooting, looking in the monitor, be like, that looks like a movie.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about is everything was still filmed on film.
Mm-hmm.
There was digital rendering, but see, we don't shoot stuff on film anymore. And I see a very few projects that are actually shot on film, and they're shot on film. They're still colored the same way digitally. Like they use the same processes where it doesn't look entirely like the original Scream or Conspiracy Theory or, those 90s movies where I don't know how to describe the coloring of the 90s.
But there is a vibe, bland. Though. There is a vibe. It's hard to say, but there is a vibe.
Yeah.
What was it? I just saw a video of author Jason Pargan talking about how films previously were made. They might be really crappy, bad films overall, but they just looked better. Like the crappiest films of the 80s, 90s, even 70s, 60s, whatever, they just looked better than stuff that you see today. And like that alone could give a film that with not that great of a story an extra leg up.
Yeah, and that's what we're missing nowadays, because I'm trying to achieve that more with the camera and the technology that we have, and I just can't quite get there as much without it's like you're almost forced to buy, and people argue on this, but you're almost forced to buy a $15,000 lens or a 12K camera, but then I just got a 4K Canon camera and I'm like, there's differences, but I go, it's not like wicked far off where it's like,
no.
I can do the rest of my movies on this 4K camera. It had to be so small. So this big ass thing that's 20 pounds and all that stuff.
I'm sure.
But But there is a reason why those lenses are 15 grand and stuff like that. There is a difference. Like, some people can't tell. I don't know if they just don't notice it between what's on screen and when they edit it. Like, some people just can't see those layers, and then some people can. Just like, yeah, with music, when they're like, well, no difference between an MP3 and like a wave, you know? Yeah,
big time. Big time, especially over time through the sharing and compression and where you're putting it. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference.
Can you feel the difference between 16-bit and 32-bit? So most people can't, but I can.
Most of the time, I can pick up on it now. But then again, I've been immersed in this world. You've been immersed in this
world.
We
grew up on it, though.
Yeah.
I might not hear it without actually being grown up on some of the analog. Because I know what analog sounds like. I'm like, this is not analog. And then this is digital. And then, wait a minute, this is like clearer than digital. You know what I mean? So your ear develops all through the years. It is called ear training. You go to school and you have to train your ear.
I've been there, done that, barely passed that class, but yes.
Really?
Yes.
I love it.
It was one of the toughest classes I think I've ever taken in my life.
Okay.
Without a doubt. But it's extremely necessary. And some people are just naturally better with it than others. I'll admit, I have a good ear, but there was still a lot of nuance that I still had to learn with it. And it was challenging. It was, but fantastic nonetheless, and something that I challenge myself to day in, day out. And I'll listen to things trying to pick it apart and see what I can notice, what I don't, and go from there.
That's how you grow,
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today. Make sure you pass along a kind gesture, because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community, because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free Hot Wax and Shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
Oh, absolutely. But and again, these are the worlds that we are in, and we love it, and this is what we digest, and it's fantastic.
It's a constant battle. It's a war, you know what I mean? It's like the war against you and what like Hollywood pictures are looking like and where it's going. Even the war against CGI, because I don't really – I think maybe like – I call it old school ways. There, I might use like one CGI shot that somebody had made somewhere, mm-hmm. but it's like I'm using old school techniques too of just like, you know, the traditional B-roll stuff and then like
yeah.
the overlays. Like this is called like rotoscoping and stuff.
Yes.
This is a digital version of that. It's like I'm using stuff where you take like just a general color palette. It's like just take a completely blue image. It's blue, whatever shade you want. Put that over the actual image and then play around with it. You know, it does change the color, it changes, but you change all the different layers and stuff to it. I mean, that's old school. That's not, I don't think you can do that anymore.
There's not a lot of folks that do. Not a lot.
And AI does it. You know, it can actually, true. Now there's an auto correct your color. You press it. Does it look good enough? You know yeah. what I mean?
That's depending on the app, yeah. sometimes yes, sometimes no. There's still a lot of growth to be done with it, but yeah. one thing's for sure, AI is certainly getting there, and that's the conversation in and of itself right there.
Yeah.
But there's something about the practicality of it, you know, any kind of films, whether it's an indie B film or if it's anything that's being put out on HBO or Warner Brothers today, the more yeah. practical you can be with something, the better it holds up. There's a reason why Jurassic Park still holds up today
yeah.
versus the Jurassic World movies that just came out last year. You know, yeah. there's a reason why one's a classic and one did okay for the summer, but then not many yeah. people are going to remember it as much.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show is like the practicality and whatever you can really ground in real life makes such a difference. So
yeah, like I see these shots where basically you could be like, oh, I'm you know, a serial killer and I got a knife like this and stuff. And I see the guys just going like this and all of a sudden the whole background's changed. And then they put whatever they want, say a scarecrow. And instead of a knife, he's got a pitchfork or something. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen where you keep yourself, but you transform you into like the colonial Marines from like Aliens,
mm.
you know, spaceship. And I go, why? Okay. So it's another version of CGI in the sense that you just don't have to make it or whatever you do with CGI yourself, right? It's like, okay, yeah. if I film myself against a black screen or a green screen, blue screen, and I have a little fake gun prop, you know what I mean? And I'm acting like there's aliens and explosions are going on. It's going to fill in that background for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can fill in the foreground with real stuff that people have shot of like dirt flying in the air and whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But so how's that different than CGI-ing the same background? And
oh yeah,
I don't know. It
no,
does it for you. That's, you know, that's the thing. You know, it's like, do you give somebody credit for? So you made a whole AI movie, and it's like, give me a movie about this, and we'll about spit it out. We put it out. We made $100,000. It's like, is that right? Because we didn't really do anything.
I know, and there's projects like that are going to start coming out. And how
music
that's
too.
Going to be dealt. Oh, music. Without a doubt. Oh, my God.
I am pissed on the country song. It's an AI song and got number one.
Oh, really? I'm not aware
yeah.
of that.
Yeah. I'm like, it should. Okay. Give it its own charts. It's like, here's the real chart, real person charts. And here's the AI charts. That's fine.
We'll probably get to yeah. that at some point. We probably will.
It's ridiculous. But now it's combined together. It's like an AI song can do better than Keith Urban or something. It's like, nah, you know, it's fake.
Yeah. You see a lot of, I see stuff on YouTube all the time and it's like, oh, this sounds interesting. And then I'll like look to see the credits and it's like, oh, this isn't real. And sometimes you can hear it and I'm like, there's no way this is real. There is no way
to come up with ideas that way. If you're a songwriter and blah, blah, blah,
oh,
you still got to pitch the song and people got to play it for real.
Yeah.
You got to sing it for real. Now we're getting where it's like, you know, well, it sounds great, the vocals, and it's, I mean, auto-tune's bad enough. I'm not a huge fan of auto-tune, but now it's like, you know, I could sing something to sound like Motley Crue or something. Yep. It's like, it's not right.
No, it's, you know? We're already having a war on authenticity as it is, and this is just really adding to it. I like to think that you can use some of the AI stuff as like, maybe it can help you make a demo. Maybe it can help you build something together to pitch something. But like at the end of the day, still go off and do it if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have, say you had a finished song, you're like, I need an AI bass part. Like I know nobody that plays bass, or you don't think anybody can play those parts on the bass, whatever the reason is, maybe if you AI'd and it would come up with a bass line that goes along with your song, but at least you wrote the song, the lyrics, you're actually mixing it. You're actually,
oh yeah.
But if it's like every single part is, you know, or say a synth, that would be perfect. You know, somebody doesn't really play keys. Just, you know, AI me a synth that sounds whatever, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes with the song, it goes with the song.
Yeah.
But I'll always do it myself.
I like trying to do as much as I can myself too. And we've had this discussion on MIDI before as well. Like there's a lot of stuff that you can do with MIDI. Sure, it kind of, again, that too takes away.
It's programmed.
It's programmed. It's still fake. But at the same time, compared to like just generating something with AI, at least somebody's writing the part. And that's something that I look at it as. It's like somebody's still writing the part.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel a little better. You know, I'm not going to lie. I use MIDI stuff, but I have yet to use like any AI stuff to render a song for me.
I have no idea.
I want the song to come from me and the people around me as much as possible. And that's what I want to promote personally. You know, whatever anybody else wants to do, the tools are out there. I'm not going to say or stop anybody from doing it, but that's just the way that I want to put together my music.
They might have to put the artists and stuff in different categories, like we were saying. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you never plan on playing out, touring, if you never, it's kind of like proving yourself, right? If you never prove that you can sound like the way you do on the record, there's really no reason why, you know what I mean? You can sound whatever you want. You don't have to like reproduce it. See, I'm always worried because it's like, I do want to do more things with my songs. And I'm like, I don't think I could ever reproduce that live.
Yeah.
You know, I could play to a backing track, which is fine. And then it has that elements in it. But sometimes it's like, it's too much. It just won't work. Like I would love to do like a Hysteria hard rock kind of thing from Def Leppard.
That has
a lot into it.
Yep.
You know, the vocals and stuff are just layered and layered and layered. And I'm like, well, I'm only one guy.
Yes.
You know, even if you had a pedal, it ain't going to layer 24 vocals.
Yeah.
You know,
you need a lot more people to be able to go out and do that live after that point.
Yeah. And nothing pays like that anymore. So it's like,
it's tough. You talk about music right now. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your upcoming EP that you're going to be releasing this summer. It's called Vampire. And I remember the last time that we were together was late last year. You were saying to me how you're like, oh my God, I've been working on all this other stuff. I really want to get back to music. Sounds like you're getting back to music. So tell us about Vampire.
For a little while. Yeah. I had time this fall to kind of record it and finish it. So, but I've been working on it for, I think, a year and a half.
Okay.
Or so already. So it's a long time. There was like 5 different versions of this. There's actually a copyrighted like demo version, but there's like 5 different versions that'll never see the light of day. But I finally landed on one just because I kept pushing myself with the mixing and I just wanted a certain sound. I wanted it to be more, almost more metal. It's hard rock, but you hear that influence.
Yep.
Like, I actually want you to hear that Metallica influence, you know, because that's where I came from. And I think, you know, all my other stuff, it's hard rock, indie rock, whatever the different genres and flavors, but it's like, I don't think you could exactly hear where my guitar playing came from, but this one I made sure.
Okay.
You know, they're heavy, it's fast, all that kind of stuff, but it's a concept EP.
Oh, okay.
You know, it has to do with undead, quote unquote, undead creatures, you know, like vampires and coming back to life. And then there's one called Radioactive, which to me is like zombie-esque kind of stuff. And there's a song called The Dragon too, which will have a music video. And I do have a sword in the, I'm going to have a sword. And then there's going to be like a CGI dragon at some point towards the end, but it's going to be more of like lava and performance and kind of like a lyric video where the lyrics pop up.
Yeah.
I'll perform and I'll sing a little bit, but then one line might be like lava background with the lyrics flying up.
All right.
And then, you know, incorporate the medieval thing, but.
Oh, that's fun.
I think like if I turn this into more songs eventually, even for another couple singles or EP, it's still going to be the same concept. And so honestly, it has nothing to do with vampires and it has nothing to do with dragons. They're all metaphors, but it's a metaphor of I'm the villain. You know, I don't think so. You know what I mean? Cause vampires, you think about it, vampires are always the bad guys. They get the bad reps, you know, they drink the blood out of everybody and stuff, but it's like, well, as we've seen in some movies, there are some good vampires that don't want to eat people.
Yep.
So that's a notion. It's like, okay, I'll own it. I'll own being the bad guy, but I am not, you know, that sort of thing.
That duality of man thing right there.
It's like
the man and the monster. Yeah.
You know how like everybody puts everybody in a category and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a great way of going about it. And you've already said already that you're looking to do some music videos with it.
Yeah.
Love the medieval vibe. What other kind of visuals and video representation are you hoping to do with the CP?
Some live performance stuff. The drummer that recorded the song sent me some footage, so I've been working on that.
And, nice.
There's like a 1 minute and 10-second song in between. I have like these little interludes and stuff, and that's more of like I walk into the studio, and then there's like a sheet over the amp stuff.
Okay.
And so it's like I'm coming back. You know, it's like a I don't know, just I'm back type
thing. There you go.
Because yeah. It has been a couple of years. 2022 is my last EP.
Oh, wow. That long now?
Yeah. I mean, a couple singles in between.
Yeah.
And then for years and years, obviously, you know, I played out open for a lot of acts and stuff. And it's like, I haven't did that in a while. But as far as like, it's always like kind of reproving yourself in a way too of like, can I keep doing this and stuff? So it's like, no, I'm back and the sound is meaner and I'm pissed and, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's not as friendly as my other music.
Interesting.
You know, there's no swearing in it, but it's just when you listen to it, it's like, it's just more aggressive.
Wow. You know? Okay. Where would you say that aggression comes from? More in a creative vibe, more in a personal vibe?
Probably personal.
Personal.
Yeah. Probably, gotcha. You know, between COVID, the house fire, pissed at the relationship I had, you know, that's
yeah
you know, and just certain other things that I'm like, I just don't agree with it, and it just eventually just gets to your skin and you're just like, I gotta write about it. But that's the most healthiest way to do it, is you let it out in a song.
I would agree. It sounds like a lot more processing probably than before.
Yeah The every step of the way was a lot more attention to detail. Every little thing too. I mean, I always have, but it's just like, this was like, it's like achieving an idea that you don't know how to reach. And you're like, you just keep carving at it.
Yes.
You know, like, okay. I found it. I got it. You know, somewhere in there.
Yes.
I still think it could go a level further. I don't know what that is, but we'll have to see on the next stuff, but
that'll be fascinating to see where that takes you. But that's cool that you have this process now.
Yeah. People too, if you DM me on my social medias, you can get the CD version autographed. Wait, like months, like now, before the EP ever comes out. So you guys can be the first to hear it.
Did you hear that? Be the first to hear it. Submit, send it over to him, ask him about it. We're going to have all links in the description of this episode so that you can hit up Frank. Frank, that's awesome. I love that.
You got Dynamite and Fall from Grace on there too, which is
cool. Oh, okay.
And that brings me to like, this really quick, the Dynamite, like, so that was like number 36 on the secondary SMR charts. So the radio, that was the first time ever I charted on the radio. I figured I'd give it a try. It's not life-changing, folks. I tell you that much. I mean, it helps. It's like winning an award or an accolade or something. And so you're like, well, how many more times can you play this game with the industry?
Yeah.
I tell you right now, there is zero money in making music right now.
Not a lot. No.
Nothing. I mean, you're talking like 10, I don't know. Even if you had 100 songs, you just don't make much at all. I make more on that CD than I do, you know?
Yeah.
It's sad. And So I will always make music, but when they're like, well, how come you're not, you know, opening for artists, and how come you're not, you know, on the radio as much and stuff? And it's like, how long do you play that game? How long do you keep, believe it or not, folks, you have to pay for all of this. It's not free. It's not like just somebody plays your song. You have to pay somebody to promote all this stuff. You got to do it. And event, you just run out of money. It's like, it's a money pit.
Yeah.
What it is. Films are a little different. A little different. But music, it's turned into, I don't even know, really. And then the AI, like we're talking about, is making things worse. So,
yeah.
But you do it because you love it. It's your passion. Maybe you have something to prove. You want people to listen to it, enjoy it. And I just think because I started out where the time was, it was possible to get on the radio still in like 2010. Yes. So I have that fire still in me of like, well, maybe it's still possible.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot has changed though since 2010, and now it's a whole different game.
Yeah. But yeah. Folks out there, if you like something, you are actually the ones responsible for getting artists and movies out there solely.
Yes. No. It's
in your, like, my career is in your hands, basically.
If you like something, support it, enjoy it, be an advocate for it, be a part of it. Just scream it from the rooftops how much you love it, because that's what really helps these days. And you may not think so, but it's true. Frank, we are getting towards the end of this interview. I know that we both got places to be. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about Say Cheese now. We've alluded to it. You mentioned it a couple times already, but we haven't really like dug into it. Warren County, that premiere is happening March 19th. So that's very, very soon. But Say Cheese is another film project that you're going to be releasing this year. Do you want to talk more about that?
That is out now, actually. On
Tubi. Oh, it is out now.
Awesome TV. Yep. So within 2 weeks, it's gotten 100,000 views on Tubi.
Nice.
Really good. And it was one of the featured ones to be released, which I was surprised. But great feedback so far. A little different movie about a killer 80s camera.
Oh.
I didn't realize that there was a Goosebumps episode, I think called Say Cheese something, where the kid has got a camera and he's taking pictures, and somebody told me like when he takes pictures, like things go away or something. It's a different concept, but I was like, I had no idea. So I think people think maybe it's a Goosebumps movie, and it's not.
Whoops.
But I will say, when you watch the movie, I had to think of a very clever way to eat up some time, and something that I thought that I just didn't do yet was the whole first 18 minutes, 20 minutes, all one shot.
Really?
When you watch it, you're like, what? It's the same angle, the same shot, the same two characters.
Wow. Okay. You got me excited. I want to check it out.
It's all ad-libbed. Like, we had a little bit of the stuff ironed out. But so Erica James, who was in the star in American Psycho Path, she's done a lot of commercial work and stuff too. But well, I go, I think we know each other good enough where we could ad-lib all this. Like, if we just go over this, let's just roll with it. And I go, you cannot stop. No matter what I say, what you say, just act like it's real. This is all one take.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's so a phenomenal exercise.
Yeah, just watch it. You know, there's some trickery too in there. Like, we exit the scene wearing like one outfit, and then we enter the scene, we're wearing different outfits. My face has got makeup on. I start to deteriorate. I look worse and worse and worse.
Wow.
Oh, it's cool.
All right. I'm checking it out. I'm watching that later tonight. And so should
just
you.
Don't get your picture taken, because you will die.
All right. I won't do that. We're on camera right now, Frank. Are we both going to die right now?
Yeah,
I hope not.
This is not a picture camera, man.
No, it's not.
Not a,
this is video.
I can't say the Polaroid, but it's not an 80s camera.
Yes, that's fair. Okay, we're safe. Very, very good. And
Say
of course,
Cheese out now. Check it out.
Say Cheese out now. And of course, Warren County, that screening premiere at the Strand Theater happening March 19th, 6:30. I'll be there. Frank will be there. Plenty of other cast and crew members will be there. It's going to be a fun time. Frank, really appreciate you being here on this episode of Walsh Wednesday. It's always great to have you on. I just want to give you the opportunity. Is there any last little nugget that you want to share before we completely wrap up this episode?
Just keep going after your passions out there, and whatever you love, just try to do it to your max, but try to learn and grow and be aware of what you can do and what you can't do. And, you can reach me on any of the social medias, you know, frankplangi.com, plangifilms.com, plangistudios.com, t-shirts right there. You can go to Threadless, and I have some movie poster. I have a Say Cheese t-shirt that's awesome. You guys check that out too.
Oh, Frank, with the shameless plugs. How could you?
Yes.
How could you with the shameless plugs, my man?
I had my own mug for the, I think it was like the first interview we did too. Yes. We just went.
Yep, exactly. No, this is the exact same mug as before. I just pulled it out.
Exactly.
Yep. All right, Frank.
All right.
Again, make sure that you come out to the screening on March 19th. Make sure that you check out Say Cheese. Got a lot of fun stuff. Vampire will be out later this summer. We'll be keeping you all posted on that. Frank, again, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, man. I'll see you next time.
I'm Connor.
I'm Frank.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week. MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locksat Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad...